know Jesus Christ loves me. Nobody ever loved me like Jesus. And I praise his name and thank him for his love and goodness to us. God is so good. Turn your Bibles, please, to Daniel chapter number 1. Daniel chapter number 1. Here a few weeks ago on Wednesday night, I gave an introduction to a message that I wanted to preach. And hadn't got back to that, but I'm still interested in that subject. So tonight God has led us in that direction with Daniel. In talking about the introduction to Daniel, there's several things we said about Daniel, and I won't go into all that for sake of time, but we know that Daniel is a book that's recognized by other writers of the Bible. We know that in New Testament is recognized. Daniel is a legitimate book of the Bible, regardless of what the scoffers say about it and make fun of it. It is God's word. And I praise God and thank him for it. We talked about the history part of it. We talked about the prophecy part of it. And we'll be dealing with some of that as God, if God will let us do so. But let me tonight just read verse number 8. If you'll stand, please, while I read. Verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. And we know that the king, he got that permission and was given that. Over in chapter 3, verse 16 through 18, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Chapter number 6 and verse number 9. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed, and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Well, we know that Daniel went into the den of lions, but the lions did not hurt him. And here we find, and I titled the message this, Men That Would Not Compromise. Men that would not compromise. Let's bow our heads and pray just for a moment. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. And thank you for the privilege that we have to bow and say thank you for loving us and saving us. And no one ever cared for us like you did and have and are. And I thank you and praise you for that. Then I pray tonight now, Lord, in the preaching of the word of God, that you'd help us. I plead the blood. I confess tonight, Lord, that we can do nothing in ourselves and by our own power. But Lord, I pray for the unction that comes from God, that divine touch of God. Help me to think and help me be able to say what I need to say and preach like you want me to preach. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Now, thinking about these men and what God had done for these 4 young men, and they were just young when they went into Babylon captivity. I want to talk about just prophecy fulfilled just for a moment. Then I want to talk about these 4 men that was given to us here in the Word of God. And verse number 2, notice what it says, and the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand. Now Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, he had them in his hand, but you notice God gave them. Now, Nebuchadnezzar could never have taken them unless God had so saw fit to do so. But don't you turn back in 2 Kings chapter number 20. 2 Kings chapter number 20. I want to show you this from the Word of God. Verse 15 of 2 Kings chapter number 20. Here's what it says. He said, what have they seen in thine house? Let me pause here and say, this Hezekiah now, he'd been through his thing, and now the envoy had come, as it were, from Babylon, and he'd showed him everything. And he said, what have they seen in your house? Hezekiah answered, all the things that are in mine house have they seen. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not showed them. And Isaiah said unto Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day shall be carried into Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. That's exactly what had happened here. King of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, God had gave them over unto his hand, and God had fulfilled his prophecy like he said he would. God did exactly what he said he would do. And let me say this before I leave this portion in 2 Kings chapter 20. And he said, what have you seen in thine house? Now, I'm not going to preach that message tonight, but there's a good message in that thought, what have you seen in thine house? And there's some things in our house we don't need to be sharing out in the world. There's things the world don't even know anything about God. There's some things are sacred, amen? Well, you hadn't got that. You would get that about 3 o'clock in the morning, you'll jump out of bed and turn 3 flips and shout hallelujah. You're not shouting too much on it right now, but you'll get it later maybe. God is special to us that are saved. And we have special relationship and fellowship with him that the world doesn't know anything about. And the Bible said, don't cast your pearls before swine, lest they turn around and rent you. Hey, sometimes it's best just not to cast your pearls out there before the swine and those that care not. There's a time not to speak. Amen. Now, in 2 Chronicles chapter number 36, just for a moment, we're not to spend a lot of time on this because I want to get to something else here. I just thought I'd toss that one out to you. But Hezekiah, what his problem was, he was showing pride in what he had and showing all of his riches, everything, unto the enemy and saying, here it is, come and get it. And we definitely need to be careful about what we do, what we say, how we act. We don't give a devil invitation in. Amen. In chapter number 36 of the book of 2 Chronicles, there's a lot of verses starting in verse 14. He's talking about what his people, how they mocked the messengers of God, despised his word. This in verse 16. Misused his prophets till the wrath of the Lord rose against the people till there was no remedy. There is such a thing as sin until there's no remedy. And here they had sinned till there was no remedy. And they were going to go in captivity. God said they were, and they would. Look in verse number 21. And it talks about to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah until the land had enjoyed her Sabbath. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. And 70 years they were behind on keeping the Sabbath years that they were supposed to keep. Oh, God said, I'll send you into judgment because of it. I'll let you go into and their sin, their rebellion, and all that they did. And may God help us to remember that God's not only a God of love, but he's a God of judgment. And tonight, I'm thinking about our country. I'm thinking about churches. I'm thinking about all of us. Sometimes I'm afraid we get caught up in the economy, and we get caught up in all the things around us, and we miss the spiritual part, how poor we really are. I'm thinking about the church at Laodicea, and they said, we're rich, increase the goods, and have need of nothing. And God said, you're poor and naked and blind, and they did need something. He said they need the eyesight of the Holy Ghost of God to work on them so they could see what they needed. And I would that we could see what we need tonight. And we need a good old-fashioned revival. I said we need a good old-fashioned, heaven-sent, sin-killing, Christ-exalting revival in our day, in our life. I need it in my life. You need it in your life. We need it in a church. We need it in a country. We need it in a county. We need God to do something in our lives in these days. I don't know if that's the right terminology to use or not, but how much we need that revival. Amen. And we truly do. And I pray God would help us tonight. And that we could see that. Here's four young men, and they were close to God, living for God, and desiring to be close to God, had no desire for the world, the things of the world. And they were in a strange land. Now, I want to talk about some things about these four men here mentioned in chapter number 6, verse 6 of chapter 1 of the book of Daniel. Look at it. Verse number 6. Now, among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for the gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, unto Hananiah Shadrach, and Meshach, and Azariah Abednego. And so we know Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego better than we know the other names, because they were used there to burn in fiery furnace, because the people he was writing to in that day. But let me say to you tonight, these four men, Daniel and his three companions, they refused to compromise, and they would not do that. The pressure is on today to compromise. And let me say this to you. The pressure is getting greater every day to compromise. It's not getting any better. And you needn't expect this society to make it any better day by day. The pressure is put on. And even this past weekend, and a parade they had downtown, they were trying to put pressure on everybody to say that's okay. I say hogwash on the parade, hogwash on the crowd. Amen. I'd rather ignore that and just say, God, help us preach the truth of the Word of God, and recognize that a God in heaven that says it's sin, it doesn't make any difference who marches and what they say, it's still sin. Amen. And God's not going to change his mind about sin. And we ought not change our mind about sin either. And what used to be sin still is sin. And what God used to hate, he still hates. What God used to love, he still loves. And God loves righteousness and holiness and pureness. God loves sinners. Amen. And God loves to save folk, but God hates the ways of the sinners. He hates and is angry with the wicked every day, the Bible said. And we need to recognize that fact. He is a God of love. But God hates sin. And God hates sin. And I praise God that he does, because that makes him the holy God that he is. And he's holy, holy, holy. If he wasn't holy, God did not have no hope. And you'd have no hope for eternity. But thank God for the holiness of our God that he is holy. Then he said, be ye holy, for I, the Lord thy God, am holy. And we know we can't be holy in the sense that sinlessness that he is in this flesh. We can't be that. But the holiness, the root word of it, means to separate and go beyond. And God is holy in the sense that he is beyond everything that we know that's right. He's beyond all of that. You can't comprehend his holiness, but of everything. Every attribute of God speaks of his holiness. He's omniscient. He's omnipotent. And he's immutable. He's everything. He's from beginning to end, everything in between. Had no beginning, has no end. And that's God. But we that are saved, thank God, we have eternal life abiding in us. And we're going to live forever. And we cannot be sinless in this flesh, but we ought to have a desire in our hearts to sin less. Amen. Amen. And sometimes we get the idea, because that we are in the flesh and we can't get out of this flesh right now until Jesus comes or resurrection takes us, whichever way we happen to go out of here. But we want to give in to the fact that, well, I'm going to sin more or less, so I'm just might as well sin. God will forgive me for it. That's a wrong attitude. We ought to have a desire to flee sin and be not compromising in our lives with what is wrong. Amen. I believe the Word of God is true. I believe God meant what he said, said what he meant. And here's these four men now, and I'm going to give you some new things about these men. They're in a new home. Now, I don't know how you define home, so let me say this. They're living in a new place. They're not in Jerusalem. They're not in Israel. They're not in their homeland. They're not with their people. They have been taken captive. They've been put in a special place in Babylon. And there they are. They're away from all the influence of the synagogues of that day, or the temple of that day that they had, synagogues in the New Testament. But the temples they had in that day, and the worship they had, the sacrifices they had, they were away from all of that. And they were just young, but they still maintain their right way of living. Amen. He said he refused the king's meeting. We'll get to that in a little bit. But I'm telling you right now, they were living in a different place. It's easy when you're around the church house to live for God. It's when you're out there somewhere else in the workplace, at school, with other people that don't love God. That's when the testing time comes and find out where we really are. Now, testing time had come for Daniel and his three companions, and here they were.
and they were away from home, and yet they remembered their God, and they did not want to defile themselves. And so they stood for God. I say amen. Thank God for young people, middle-aged, or anybody else that'll stand for God in these days. Now, I remember over there in Writings of the Kings, they was talking about a young maid told Naaman, a Syrian who had leprosy, about the God of Israel. There's a prophet over there, and said the God over there could heal him of his leprosy. It was just a little maid, a young girl. And she was in a strange land with a strange people, but she remembered her God and knew who he was and what he could do. I say, amen. I'm glad she did. You remember Joseph down in Egypt? He was, well, he was sold by his own brothers first into bondage. Then he was lied on. And then he's put in prison. Then he was forgotten about by the butler until later the king began to dream. And finally he got out. And did you know what? Through it all, he maintained his remembrance of the God of Israel. He still remembered God. He lived for God. And he told the Pharaoh when he come to give him his interpretation of his dream, he said, it's not in me, but it's in the God of heaven. I'm glad, praise God, he remembered the God of heaven. Amen. The God that could interpret dreams and tell him what was going about to take place. And so tonight, sometimes where we are, the surroundings around us, affect how we do. You remember the Apostle Peter? He was with Jesus. He was with the other disciples. And at that time in the garden, he pulled out his sword and said, I'll fight for you. I'll die for you. I'll never deny you. But yet just a little bit later, he's in a place and no Christians there. There's nobody following Jesus there but him. And they begin to say, he's one of them. And a young woman began to say, he's one of them. And he denied it. And he cursed and said, I don't know him. And with the wrong crowd, sitting around the wrong fire and doing the wrong, amen. And you and I have best be careful the crowd we run with and how we let them influence how we think and what we say. And may God help us, amen. And I know you have to. We're in the world, but we're not to be of the world. We're to be separated. What? Know you not your body, the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God. You're not of your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body, in your spirit, which are God's. And then again he said, come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and be a father unto you. I say, we need separation in our day from the things of this world. Amen. You're welcome. I'm just preaching the book tonight. I'm talking about not compromising. You know why folk compromise? Because they get with different crowds and act different ways. And they don't maintain a consistency in the Christian living. And we need that consistency living for God day by day. Not only were they in a strange place, but they were getting a new learning, if you please. In verse number 4, look at it, please, with me. Daniel chapter 1, verse 4. Children, and whom was no blemish, but well favored, skillful in wisdom, cunning in knowledge, understanding science, such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace. Now notice this, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. Now they were being taught the way of the Chaldeans, and they were being taught their language, and they were being taught in some new knowledge. Now these young people here, just graduated from high school, you better be careful what you pay attention to in college. And then you better pay attention to what you've been taught in high school. You better pay attention to what you've been taught anywhere, anytime. Amen. And here they had the opportunity to learn all this new stuff. And they could have said, well, now that old-fashioned way of worship God, I believe I'll just join in with this crowd I'm with. And they're worshiping Baal, and they're serving other gods. And look at all this wisdom they got, this knowledge they've got. They could have fell into that, but not so. They did learn their language, and they did learn a lot of things, but it didn't affect who they were and what they believed. I reminded what the psalmist David said in Psalm 57. I can't remember what verse, maybe 7, but he said, my heart is fixed. Oh, God, my heart is fixed. I'm glad tonight my heart's fixed. I'm glad, praise God. That word fixed can be two meanings on it. It can mean to put something back together, glued it together, put it together, whatever, fixed in that way. And my heart has been fixed in that way in the sense the Holy Ghost took it out the old stony heart and put a new heart in there. I'm glad my heart's fixed that way. But it's also having your mind set on something, your eyes set on something. And somebody said their eyes is fixed on this, their eyes are fixed on that. I'm glad my eyes are fixed on Him. Amen. And these Hebrew boys had their eyes fixed on God and didn't make any difference where they were, nor what they're being taught. They still knew their God was with them and they would not compromise. I say we better have the right knowledge. Amen. And knowledge is good and learning is good. I believe our minds are a great thing God gave us that we need to feed the right stuff and keep on learning. And you'll never learn everything's in the Bible. You'll never be able to comprehend it all anyway. So there's always something new to learn and something we can put in practice in our life. But let me say this. Be careful about the world's thinking out here. Be careful what they're teaching today, because they're trying to cram down our throats humanistic way of thinking. And I don't like that. Don't appreciate it. I believe we ought to believe what God said. Take God at His word and keep on keeping on for the glory of God. Amen. And so you think about this. Now, you remember Moses? And Moses, he was taught the way of Egypt. Remember, Pharaoh's daughter adopted him. And his mother got to take care of him, though. And she taught him the right way. And then when he grew up, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He refused that. He said he'd suffer the affliction with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. You know why Moses could do that? You know why Moses could stand where he stood? You know why Moses could stand there and say, I'm going to go with the children of Israel? Because he knew who their God was. And no matter what he learned over here in Egypt, no matter how much knowledge he had, how many riches was there, I'm going to stick with God. That's what he was saying. I'm going to go with God's people and be and serve my living God. I say we need to not let knowledge bother us. I know some folk, they got so much learning, they got too much. Now, I may mess up some words. I may butcher some words. Fact is, I tear some of them all to pieces. And I give you something to smile about anyway when I do. But I can tell you right now, I'd rather preach, stumble over every word I got to, and couldn't read a sentence right, and have God on me than I would to read it all just perfect, have everything just right, lay out an outline just right, have everything just in order, and say, boy, that's just like it's supposed to be. I'd rather know that I'm doing what God wanted me to do and preaching and saying what God wanted me to say than have all of that. Amen. I'm interested in pleasing God. I'm interested in knowing what God wants me to know. I appreciate everything that's been ever learned. I thank God for every school and every God. I'm thankful for all that. I'm thankful for any honorary thing ever got in my life. I'm thankful for all of that. But it means nothing if I don't let God have His way and God do what He wants to do in my life, because I'm not anything. He's everything. He's everything I need. He's everything I shall ever need. I need to preach Him and exalt Him, lift Him up. And He said, I draw men unto myself. We heard down there last night, we need just let Him take care of everything. And that's a good idea, amen. Just let God handle it. And so I praise God tonight. But us don't compromise on the way letting God handle it. Us let Him handle it. Us don't compromise. Us believe God, amen. And wherever you are, where you're in the house of God at Gateway, whether you're on the job or where you're in school, whether it's your neighbors, whether it's your family gathering, or whether you're out there in the store, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, let's just don't compromise because we're in a different crowd. Then let's don't compromise because somebody may know something and we feel intimidated because they may know more in this world than we know. That don't make a difference. They put their britches on the same way I do mine. Amen. Don't make a difference how many degrees, nor how high, nor how low they are. They need Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. Amen. And we need to tell them about Jesus. Well, let me give you a third thing real quickly. Their diet was different. And they started to, knowing they were living in a different place, knowing that they have some different knowledge getting to them, but they had a different diet. And verse number 8 again. Daniel purposed in his heart that he not defile himself with the king portion of king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the eunuchs. Now, notice he requested. He didn't come in and say, well, now bless the Lord. I'm not. He requested it. He asked for it. They'd not be made to do that. Found favor. God gave him favor. And God, remember, God's the one that can take care of us in no situation. I want to show you something tonight. I want you to turn with me, please, back over in Proverbs chapter 22. You say, preacher, you're against drinking, aren't you? I am.
Amen.
I'm against drinking out of a bucket. I'm against drinking it out of a moonshine jug. I'm against drinking it out of a glass. I'm against drinking it out of a wine glass. I'm against drinking it out of a little bitty shot glass. I'm against drinking it, holding your little pinky out. I'm against drinking it, period.
Amen.
I want you to get that. Look with me in Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 29. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it's red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. Now it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out if it's moving and it's in the cup, it means it's fermented. Y'all agree with that?
Yeah.
It's fermented. And when it's fermented, now grape juice, there's nothing wrong with grape juice. And the word wine in the Bible many times means grape juice. But many, and sometimes it means a strong drink. It's talking about here. And he's talking about that's fermented. He said, don't look on it. I've said this many of a time. It didn't mean shut your eyes and drink it either. It means have nothing to do with it.
Amen.
At the last it biteth like a serpent, stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, thine heart shall utter perverse things. He said it mess you up because you do things you wouldn't do otherwise. I want to tell you tonight, friend, and young people, you'll be pressure put on you to take a little sip of beer or to smoke a joint or take a little drug and make you feel good, do this, do that, do that. That's a devil's trap for you. And if you never start, you don't have to ever have to deal with it.
Amen.
Amen. That's good preaching. Preach it on. I'm telling you tonight, our young folk are messed up in America and around the world, really. And older folk alike with drugs and alcohol and people having their refrigerators and setting around children and wonder why the children get in trouble. I can tell you tonight, we need to take our stand against that. Amen.
Amen.
And preach it and teach it and let people know society has gone crazy over this stuff. And every way we turn, pressure's put on. And we wonder what's happened to our young folk. Pressure's put on. Well, if we don't get them to God, get them loving Jesus, get them sold out for God, they'll be trapped in that pressure. We need to help them. Well, then let me give you a fourth thing. I'm going to close. In fact, I'm not even going to preach it. I'm just going to give it to you. They had a new name, but it didn't affect them. Hallelujah. Now, I want to get into their names, but it'll take me some time to do that, so we're not going to do it tonight. But they had a new name, but it didn't affect them. Their heart was fixed, and they just kept on with the name that they had before they got to Babylon. Somebody may call you a new name too, but it ought not affect who you are. Amen. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the preciousness of this precious book. Lord, these four young men wouldn't compromise. They wouldn't back up. They just stood. They did what they ought to do, but they did it with a good spirit and a good way about them. Lord, they would not compromise. I thank you, Lord, their heart was fixed. And I'm glad, Lord, they give us a good example in the Word of God for us to go by. Help us in these days that we'll let our light shine for Jesus, that we'll tell others about Jesus, and that we'll not compromise in these days. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet, please. Sing, Brother Tim. If you need to come for any reason, you may need to come just pray. You may need to come and get right with God. You may need to come and get saved. Whatever your need is tonight, you get my attention if you need some help. And we'll certainly see that you get that help. You come while we sing.
Stand up for Jesus, she's so